Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers swept this little two-game series from the Giants, outscoring them 12-2 in the series. A dominant performance on Wednesday night, exactly what we were looking for. After finding a way to beat Carlos Rodon, you really think they should be able to beat Alex Wood, and guess what? They did. So, a lot of fun to talk about, and I have a special guest. So, let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, the show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio, but that's not him next to me. I'll introduce that guy in a second. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are, and we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room, so we're not quite insiders, which is probably a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. And speaking of smart fans, I have a guest today. Vince is still on vacation, and to be honest, I think it's more interesting when I have somebody to talk to sometimes, and I wasn't in the mood to do a fourth straight day of talking to myself, and so I thought, who's one of my favorite guys to talk Dodgers with? And he wasn't available, so I went with Thomas instead. Just kidding. Thomas Pearson is one of my favorite guys to talk Dodgers with. If you're on Dodgers Twitter, you might know him as a fun-sized troll. Alex Bregman-sized troll. But, you know, Thomas, thanks for hopping on with me.
I think he's actually too tall to be me. I'm more of an Altuve-sized troll.
Yeah, and like Altuve, you admit that you're short, unlike Alex Bregman. So, yeah, 5'4½" in all its glory, Thomas. We're going to talk about the Dodgers, and it's a good time to talk about them because they just swept the Giants, and it's only two games out of 19. Don't want to get too crazy, but you come into this series hoping to make a statement, and it seems like the Dodgers made a pretty decent statement against what has been a pretty good Giants team.
Yeah, they've been pretty solid, but they had a lot of injuries, so I'm satisfied with what they did. You know, there was one night where you had an absolute great performance by their pitcher. And then tonight, you know, I feel like we did what we should do against a team that has people on the COVID IL and injuries, which is dominate.
Yeah. And, they are still missing some guys. Mike Yastrzemski was back. He got a base hit. You know, I mean, Lamont Wade, I guess, is still missing. And overall, though, I mean, it wasn't totally shorthanded. And the big thing for me is, then knocking around Alex Wood and the bullpen. Alex Wood has been pretty darn good this year, and their bullpen has been pretty good. And the Dodgers, you know, while they did have some innings where they struggled against Alex Wood, overall, they didn't seem overly impressed with him and definitely didn't seem impressed with the Giants bullpen. So, I remember a week and a half ago, Ben Caspick, the host of Locked On Giants, and I don't say this to pick on Ben because I really like Ben, but he got all excited that the Giants had the best run differential of baseball. And that literally lasted 2 hours until the Dodgers played later that night and took that title back. And now the Dodgers run differential after tonight is at plus 57 and the Giants are at plus 24. So the Giants are tied for third place in the division, 2.5 games behind the Dodgers, tied with the Rockies, who nobody believes the Rockies are going to. Do you believe the Rockies are going to stick around at all, Thomas?
I'd be very surprised. I think they might stick around long enough to have some guys get traded, and then they'll sink down to the bottom after they pick up prospects for them.
Because they're 14-10, but they have a negative 11 run differential, so they have not been good overall. They beat the Dodgers in a series, but so did the D-backs, who are 13-13. The entire NL West is at 500 or better, and I assume there must be a flip side. Let's see, the NL East, three teams are under 500. AL West, three teams are under 500. There it is. AL Central, four out of the five teams are under 500. So, it seems like really it's just a function of the Dodgers haven't played many teams in the NL West very much yet. And that's why they're all above 500 once the Dodgers get to play them more. And I know that sounds like hubris since the Dodgers, literally the only two series they've lost have been to the Rockies and Diamondbacks, but I feel pretty safe going out on the limb that the Dodgers are a better team than the Diamondbacks and the Rockies.
Yeah, and we've also beat the San Diego Padres and San Francisco Giants. So we beat the best teams in the division and we've fallen against the weaker ones, but that's what you call early baseball and on the road.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, there's a lot to talk about with this series and just kind of the Dodgers in general. One of the things, I don't even know where to start. I kind of want to talk about Hanser Alberto. You know, even though he doesn't play much, he has gotten a hit almost every time he's gotten a start, but he seems to, he's filling that role that, you know, last year I feel like it was mostly Albert Pujols and the T.O. Albert hugs. And obviously it used to be Kike Hernandez. Kind of felt forced from Kike sometimes, you know. Used to be, you know, you had Scott Van Slyke with the bubble machine back in the day.
Juan Uribe,
yeah. I'm kind of a big fan of this Hanser Alberto guy. Like, he's just – it's not like he's trying to be a mascot or anything. He just seems to genuinely love baseball and have fun being on the Dodgers, you know?
Yeah, he's the epitome of what you want off the bench as – kind of like a role player. He's not the guy where you feel like you have some of your top prospects and you're kind of wasting their time on the bench. And he's not one of those, in my mind, where you have like these, oh, this Hall of Famer is a Dodger, but like, he's not a Hall of Famer for us. He's kind of just like a cool guy, a cool trivia question. He's actually somebody I feel like if we had to spend time with him actually playing, he would be somebody that I'd like to watch and feel like could actually contribute to wins.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe we'll talk in a few minutes about the way this roster is constructed, because I do feel like it's different than in previous years. But here's my question for you. What have you been more impressed with so far this year, the starting pitching or the bullpen?
The bullpen, because I think that we all knew what the starting pitching could do. I mean, we're talking Buehler, Urias, Kershaw. You kind of know what to expect there. Kershaw, the first two, first of all, we know those guys are prime Dodgers right now, so you know they're going to be good. Kershaw, it wasn't a question of does he still have it, is he washed? It was more of a question of can he stay healthy enough to not have his ability hindered by it or his performance hindered by something lingering. So we knew what we were going to get from him. The big question was, what are you going to get on the back end? And, you know, Gonsolin's showing he's had some injury problems. Maybe that contributed to some of his performances in the past. And then, I mean, you're just looking at Anderson and Heaney, and it's, you know, you're just seeing good performance out of them. So that, I feel like we all knew, especially with, like, Heaney early and now Anderson, like, one of them was a trade target last year. The other was a top prospect at one point in time. You knew that we could do something with them. But the bullpen, I mean, even more important than that, we've had some bullpen injuries, and we've had guys come in off the streets and perform. So you've got to be excited about that. And this, it's kind of funny. We've been talking about, like, the pass the baton on the offense prior to the season, but it really feels like the bullpen roots for each other in their entirety, and you're getting more of a pass the baton from the bullpen too, which you don't usually get from a bullpen. That's usually something you get from an offense, but these guys seem to root for each other, and you see it.
Yeah, and both sides, they had question marks coming in. Like you said, Kershaw, it was the health. Gonsolin, maybe the health, or, you know, or the question of, is health the issue? And then obviously nobody expected Andrew Heaney to be as good as he has been so far. And obviously he's hurt. Tyler Anderson probably giving a little bit more than people expected. But yeah, I think you're probably right that the bullpen had more question marks because, you know, Tommy Canley, we hoped he would be good when he came back. Daniel Hudson, we hoped he would be good. And then other guys, Evan Phillips, we hoped that what we saw in the postseason was really him. We hope Phil Bickford could follow it up. But it seems like pretty much everybody, or almost everybody, is kind of meeting those hopes. And we're at the point where the Dodgers are going to have to send somebody to the minor leagues who doesn't deserve to be in the minor leagues probably when the rosters change down. So the pitching staff has definitely been a bright spot all around. I'm going to come back in a minute. We'll talk about kind of the way this roster is constructed. So thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. I want to talk to you about BlueNile.com. Mother's Day is coming up. I believe we are 3 days away now. Luckily, BlueNile.com does overnight shipping if you need it. And what is BlueNile.com, you ask? It is fine jewelry that is great for gifts for, say, Mother's Day. If you've got that special someone, whether it's a wife, a girlfriend, a mother, mother-in-law, grandmother, and you want to buy her jewelry, BlueNile.com can help, because if you, like me, are bad at buying jewelry and have no idea what looks good or what to go with or anything, guess what? They have jewelry experts on hand 24/7 available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. So this Mother's Day, give mom something she will treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off a $500 order. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day. Use code Locked On. That's Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. All right, we are back, and a little behind the scenes. Normally, when Vince and I do the show together, one of us is in charge of hosting and doing the ad reads, and the other one is in charge of clicking on the little things to change what the banner says at the bottom and stuff. And so normally when I'm reading an ad, Vince is clicking on the thing, and Vince wasn't here to do that, and Thomas doesn't have access to do that. So I'm just going to leave this Blue Nile thing here for the next 30 seconds or so, so that if you missed that URL or that promo code, it's right there for you. And while you read that, why don't you keep listening to us talk about the Dodgers? And Thomas, I want to talk about this roster construction. It's something that I've had conversations on social media, and maybe you and I have even talked about it. I don't remember, but it seems like this team, and I don't know if it's just because of the universal DH or if that's contributing, but it seems to be built a little different, because obviously they have a shorter bench. All they have is Austin Barnes, Hanser Alberto, and Edwin Rios. But when you look at those guys, in years past, you had guys who were expecting to get starts, whether that was because you had Jock Peterson, who he's not going to play every day because some guys throw with their left hands and Jock Peterson doesn't like those guys very much. And so you had to have a platoon partner for Jock. You had the Dodger teams in the past few years seems like it was just, let's get all the good players we can get and we'll find a way to play them once in a while. And while I still think they've obviously loaded up on really good players, especially Hanser Alberto, but even Edwin Rios to an extent, it's kind of that role player, a guy who knows, look, I'm not going to get many starts. I'm going to get an occasional start, but most of the time I'm going to be coming off the bench to pinch hit. And, Hanser Alberto is definitely happy in that role. Edwin Rios, Vince and I have talked in the past about how the Dodgers might have to send him to the minors just to get him some at bats for the sake of his development. But overall, like it seems like this team, the way it's built, really does lend itself to the consistency in the lineup that we've seen, where you have the same starting nine almost every day. And I'm kind of enjoying it. I didn't mind the lineup switches in the past, but I kind of like this consistency, you know?
I think you said, you had a lot of guys that needed starts and you had a lot of guys that you couldn't justify keeping on the bench. So the easiest way to do that was rotating. I think right now it's kind of like you have some guys that are clearly defined bench players. And like you said, with the DH, some of the guys that you might have sat to get off their feet since you had to hit with, or you had to have a pitcher hit, you're now seeing those guys just move to the DH for that day. So but also I think that there's a lot of guys that we don't have as many young guys that are trying to rotate in and out, and you can let guys like Miguel Vargas kind of marinate in the minors. You don't need to rush Bush up from Double A. You have a lot more time to let those guys marinate. And then I think they just know, like, you know, every once in a while your team, because nobody has, it seems like our team sometimes to other teams especially has the ability to print money whenever we want and get whoever we want and retain whoever we want. But the reality of the situation is, like, guys come in and out of the rosters, and I think we're just right now, they're going after more bench guys and going for the more everyday lineup, because we're not as much in flux like we might be in a couple of years where you have to pull up Vargas, where you have to pull up Bush, where you have these guys waiting in the wings. So I think they don't want to go overboard and pull guys up too soon. They don't feel like they have to sign guys like that to fill in talented spots, because they know we have stuff coming up. They know we've got talent up here. So there's just no need. So it's like, well, what can we do to keep chemistry great? Well, Alberto has proven he's a great guy off the bench. He loves his teammates. He loves baseball. He loves being on a major league roster. So he's the perfect guy to have there. Rios knows his role. He's kind of trying to do his 2020 role. So you have a lot of these guys that kind of know where they're at and what to expect. And that's basically where it's at. Because in the past, we might have signed somebody for second base and had Lux do the bench. But this year, we're like, this is the year where if he was a top prospect for us, he needs to play.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I've kind of been wondering if, you know, in a couple of weeks, they do have to knock one more pitcher off the roster and replace him with a position player. And right now, really, Zach McKinstry is the only option who's on their 40-man roster. And I wonder if they're going to want to have both McKinstry and Rios on the roster, because both of those guys, theoretically, you'd like them to be getting at bats somewhere for their development. And so I wonder if they might even go sign a veteran somewhere, somebody who, you know, more of a Hanser Alberto role, who's happy to come off the bench once in a while and provide veteran leadership, you know, clubhouse presence and all that stuff. Just to fill that spot rather than, you know, and then like Vince and I talked about a week or two ago, they could kind of swap back and forth with Rios and McKinstry and say, okay, Rios, we love you. You're going to go down to AAA so you can get, 30 at bats in the next week. And then we'll bring you back up in a couple weeks. Let's call McKinstry up for a while. And I don't know. It seems like all these questions always end up getting answered by somebody getting hurt. And, the Dodgers have definitely offensively avoided the injury bug so far this year. And so you haven't had to have Rios or Alberto kind of pushed into a starting job. But with some of these guys, really Justin Turner, I guess, is the only guy I would consider an injury risk just because he is, older. And not as old as me, but still pretty old by baseball player terms. And so I wouldn't be shocked to see Turner go on the IL, and that might even more increase the need for the Dodgers to go get somebody. I don't know if there's, I don't follow the waiver wires often, I know the Angels released Justin Upton. I don't know if he ever signed with anybody, but he's bad at baseball. So that's probably not a good one. I don't know. You have any thoughts on any of that?
A wild one. I think if Turner gets hurt right now, you're seeing Miguel Vargas in AAA. I don't know how often we talk about minor leagues on here, but he's somebody that you could possibly see come up because he's got a pretty good OPS, pretty decent, solid on base percentage down there. He's one of our top prospects. And, I see Rios and Alberto more as bench players. I don't really see them as guys that I would want in and out of the lineup every day. But it depends on where you're seeing JT go and how he's playing leading up to the injury. Because if you call up Vargas, the way he's playing in AAA and the talent he has, you might see, and I know this will shock some people to say, a situation where it becomes Adrian Gonzalez, Cody Bellinger again in 2022 because the guy's that good. And there is the possibility that he rakes.
Yeah. The big question, and actually, especially since they have Max Muncy playing a lot of third base anyway, because the big question mark with Miguel Vargas is his defense. Nobody knows if he can be a major league third baseman, but most people guess that the answer is probably no. And so he might have to move positions eventually anyway. But, JT is playing DH every other day anyway. And so, Vargas could fill that plays DH most of the time kind of role, especially, and, maybe try him at first base once in a while. No, first base, there's a guy there who plays every day. Is Freddie Freeman, he hasn't even been a DH yet. He's just going to be the first baseman every single day, I guess.
Pretty much. The only other thing they have Vargas listed as is a second baseman. So they have second base and third base listed.
Yeah. And they've tried, when I was talking to Keith Law a couple months ago, he mentioned that they're trying to see if Miguel Vargas can play second base. And he said, I don't think it'll be successful, but I didn't think that they could turn Michael Bush into a second baseman either. And they did. So, maybe Vargas, especially this year where they can still shift and second base, I feel like it's the easiest position to play maybe because you can hide a second baseman because of the shift and kind of put him wherever you think it's least likely to be hit or whatever. Obviously I hope JT doesn't get hurt. I hope that what we saw, he finally got a base hit in this game Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And hopefully he can just break out of his slump and stay healthy and start hitting the ball again. Cause I really don't think he's done,
Yeah, I mean, the other thing we're discounting in this talk, too, if they did decide to pull up Vargas and put him at DH is you could always then also call up Pilar and have CT3 play more on the infield and move him into the outfield and not lose much on defense.
Yeah, and the challenge with both Vargas and Pilar and Jake Lamb or anybody else is that they are none of them are on the 40-man roster. And so that would require 40-man roster moves. I guess
but Jake so with Lamb, adding somebody.
Yeah, and Jake Lamb might be that guy who they would just go with for the veteran presence, you know. I don't know how happy he'd be about that kind of role of not playing every day, but yeah, maybe that's the answer. Maybe they already have him in there. I'm higher on Jake Lamb than on Kevin Pillar. I don't know why. I've always felt like Kevin Pillar was a little bit overhyped, but maybe that's just me. We're going to take a break. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, for me, the Pillar thing is just I value offense or outfield defense incredibly, and I feel like you don't lose it when you have Bellinger, Betts, and Pillar out there. So if we're just talking like, hey, I'm not going to expect you to hit much, but if you can just go out there and prevent runs, then we can win some ball games.
Yeah, although the flip side of that, and I think one of the things that I think is most overhyped is I don't think Pillar has actually been a very good defensive outfielder the last several years. So, you know, definitely not what he used to be for sure. But all right, we will be back in a minute to talk more about the Dodgers, talk a little bit more specifically about this game on Wednesday night because it was a fun one. So thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. I would like to tell you about Athletic Greens. I use it every day. I've told you guys I started taking it about a decade ago, and I used it for a while, then I stopped. I just recently started again, and I love it. It's a great way to get all the vitamins that you need. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. And it's really easy. You just scoop one scoop of this stuff into a glass of water or mix it in with your protein shake or however you're drinking some liquid, throw some Athletic Greens in there, and boom, you got all these vitamins that you need for the whole day. Everybody should be taking a multivitamin anyway. This is a really easy to get everything you need, and the quality is so much higher than any multivitamin you could buy at the store. It costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Tons of people take some kind of multivitamin, like you said. Your subscription comes with a year's supply of vitamin D, which is so important to add. Now that we're getting into the summer, people think you get more vitamin D in the summer, but a lot of times it's too hot to go outside, so you end up staying inside and still not getting your vitamin D. So you almost always need to supplement that vitamin D. That comes with your subscription. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLB network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/MLB network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. I also want to talk to you about BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball, and this weekend's Run to the Roses as the Kentucky Derby is back. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we are back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. I also want to thank Thomas again for talking with me. I always like talking Dodgers with him. Let's talk specifically about this game on Wednesday night. It started off slow. Through the first time through the order, the Dodgers only had one base runner, and he was erased on a double play. But that second time through the order, it's been Alex Wood's Achilles heel this year, and it definitely was for him this time through. The Dodgers were able to put up a couple runs and kind of start to chip away. And really, one of the big things was they got his pitch count up to the point where he couldn't even – I don't think he made it through five innings, right? Was it the fifth inning that they pulled him? And he was at like 89 pitches. I think he got, four and two-thirds.
I have the box score in front of me. He went five and a third.
And then five and a third. But yeah, 89 pitches, I think. And so, knocked him out. 89 pitches. They got into that bullpen. And because the Dodgers had the lead, kind of affected how the Giants used their bullpen. And so they couldn't go with some of their bigger studs. They went with kind of the, let's try to keep it close while we get back in the game. And instead they didn't keep it close and did not get back in the game.
Not at all.
And everybody on the team except Chris Taylor got a hit, I think. They were saying late in the game, everybody except JT and CT had a hit. And then JT got a nice line drive hit. Max Muncy broke out of his slump, got a base hit, and then later hit a home run. Mookie Betts had a couple hits, including a home run. Freddie Freeman had a two-run triple. Always fun to see Freddie hitting a triple. We saw one in the freeway series and now one in the regular season. Bellinger had a big hit and played some great defense. Man, I don't even know. Like, I was talking about the offense, but then I remember Cody Bellinger's defense, and now that's all I want to talk about for the next 3 weeks on this show.
Well, yeah, I mean, even when he was slumping last year through the injuries, that was always what his value was. And then he started getting the leg injuries, and you're like, man, like, he's just not Bellinger. This year, you know, he hasn't hit crazy this year so far, but it doesn't feel like last year. It feels a lot like, you know, a lot of bad luck. There's a lot of hard hit balls with solid launch angles that are just landing on the warning track that you expect to get out later as the year progresses. You're seeing his confidence and his form and his power come back. Like I said, I expect him to finish, like, 250 batting average and still like 35 plus home runs maybe, but like the defense right now, you see it with his legs and you see it with Betts too. It's a wonderful thing for our defense in the outfield to be seeing those guys mobile again and running around and able to do it, and you forget how easy it is on defense for them and you take it for granted, because there are some plays that you see and you watch other baseball teams and they just don't make the same plays.
Yeah, and you know, and we watched an outfield of We watched Matt Kemp in left field for the Dodgers just 4 years ago. And, you know, Kemp hit that first half of the season, but that defense, you know, he wasn't like terrible, but he sure wasn't getting to balls. And, you know, Oral was marveling during the broadcast. Like, he's saying he couldn't remember a ball all year that Cody didn't get to. And yeah, I mean, Cody had to slide for one in the ninth inning tonight. And that's even more than you usually see, because he's so fast, gets such good jumps that most of the time he just ends up making it look easy. You know, although, you know, one of my favorite plays, I think it was the 2018 World Series when Cody made that diving catch. Was that the 18 inning game, or was that, when was it?
I believe it was, because usually in games that long, there has to be a couple of good defensive plays.
Yeah. And like the Superman dive catch. If I'm wrong about the game, I'm sure somebody will tell me. But yeah, the offense looked really good. And it sure would be nice to have, you know, Justin Turner and Max Muncy break out of their slumps. Nobody is really hitting. I think Freddie Freeman is probably the only guy you would say, yeah, he's hitting about as well as I expect him to.
CT3 is probably hitting above average. I believe he has a close to 300 batting average. Let me look it up. 292. I mean, not saying he can't hit that, but I would probably expect more of a 270 to 279. So he's a bit above what I'd expect.
Yeah, but even he's striking out a lot. Even by his standards, I feel like he's striking out a lot, you know, so maybe there is still some room for improvement there. But yeah, you know, there a is. Lot of guys, even Will Smith, you know, Will Smith settling in, he's batted clean up the last couple of games and looks good there, and starting to, you know, he's always been a guy who has bad luck, it seems like, and so some of that luck's starting to even out. But yeah, it sure would be nice to see this lineup really, really take off, because this is a lineup that, top to bottom, should be dominating. They should be able to put up 5 or 6 runs a game, even on an off night.
I don't take this game for a ton of importance for what it is, because it's an early game in early May, and it's against a team that has some injury issues despite good management. What I take out of this game is we've got some teams that aren't great defensively coming up and aren't the best teams in the league. But Chicago and Philadelphia, which is after the Pittsburgh series, our first games back, this month has a lot of teams that can score on you. So to see the defense doing well and see the offense hit is good, because there's going to be nights where the starters and the bullpen give up runs. And the reason we have this offense is when we play teams like Philadelphia that aren't going to be good defensively, and we play teams like Chicago that are inconsistent defensively, we need to be able to bank on the fact that, hey, we're never out of it, because we can slug our way back into a game where our pitching's not meeting its end. So to get 9 runs, especially late, is just, I feel like, good momentum going into this entire month because it's kind of setting the table for what we need to be able to do against these mediocre to bad teams.
Yeah, absolutely. The Dodgers don't play a good team until my birthday, June 2nd. That's the next time they play a team that is currently over 500. I mentioned the D-backs are at 500. Don't know if they'll be above or below by the time the Dodgers play them in, you know, a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of teams that aren't great coming up. And so hopefully they can take advantage of that. And like you said, you know, some of these teams can hit, but I like the way the Dodgers, you know, the Giants can hit too. And they just scored two runs in two games, you know, and even with their guys on the injured list and the COVID IL, they've continued to score. Even when they had that bad series against the Giants, it wasn't because, or against the Nationals, it wasn't because they weren't scoring. It was because their pitching let them down. And this series, the Dodgers pitching won this series. And yeah, the offense was great, but the pitching really, really shut things down. And it was awesome.
The pitching did exactly what I wanted it to do because, like you said, they hit, but at the end of the day, Brandon Crawford hitting a home run, I can live with. Last year, Buster Posey doing something, I can live with. Some of the guys we know are pretty solid. It's when they had the random bench players scoring last year and doing stuff that was kind of irritating. And if you're going to be a team that's going to compete and seriously be taken to win the World Series, there's going to be teams with guys like them that are good baseball players, but they're not guys that you're like 100% like, oh, I'm okay with them beating me. Like I mentioned, like with Posey, Belt, Crawford, those kind of guys. So this is what I want to see. Like when you have teams like this with the lineup they had, that has, you know, good players, but they're not guys that you would say, oh, they're going to have a game where they beat me no matter what because they're just that good. You need to have games like this where you shut them down. That's how you win in the postseason because everybody has good players in the postseason. The difference between the teams that seriously go deep and not are the teams that are able to shut down those guys.
Yeah. And, you know, to that point, it was good to see Wilmer Flores playing like Wilmer Flores instead of playing like Superman like he did against the Dodgers last year, you know. Wilmer Flores should play like Wilmer Flores, and that's what the Dodgers pitching. They said, hey, you're Wilmer Flores. Stop pretending you're good, you know? And I think you need those statements once in a while.
Yeah, stop playing like you're Miguel Cabrera 10 years ago and play like Miguel Cabrera now.
Yeah, that's what we expect from you. And then cry.
I shouldn't say that about Miguel Cabrera because Miguel Cabrera is actually doing pretty decent this year.
Yeah, he's still all right. He's not very
good. Oldie's still better than Wilmer Flores, though.
Yeah, that's true. You got anything else before we wrap this up, Thomas?
Nothing other than, like I said, this is a good momentum-building series. This is a good series to, if you're trying to see where the Dodgers can go this month, this is a good start. There's going to be a point in time this season where we're going to slump more than we have. It feels to people like right now like we have, but like even with people complaining about our inconsistent offense, pulling this up real quick on, let's see the stats. We're still basically, we're still like basically sixth in the league in runs scored. And we're only realistically six runs away from being number one, despite everybody feeling like we're not hitting. So yeah. I'm seeing a lot of good things early on. And the pitching, like you said, has been great. I could see it getting iffier because we're going to welcome back people as the season progresses, like May and stuff like that. I think our normal early season slump doesn't happen in the early season this year. I expect it more in the mid where we start welcoming guys that we want back and they have to reacclimate themselves to the majors. So I think these months right now are important because, like I said, we want May back. We want those guys back, but we should be okay with them struggling a little bit. We should be okay with losing a couple games as they get reacclimated. And so right now, the bigger buffer we can build, the more it allows us to gently move guys in and put them in positions to succeed so that as the season progresses, we have our best possible roster heading into the postseason. So I'm loving what we're seeing right now. I haven't complained about any real management moves so far this year. There hasn't really been any things that really killed me. We've been less error prone in past years. So it's just building, building, building.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, they've got these 26 games coming up against basically bad teams. And, you know, 18-8 seems totally realistic in those 26. I'd love to see them reel off a 22-4 stretch or something. But, you know, yeah. Whatever they do, you know, they need to take advantage of this 26 game stretch where it's the weaker underbelly and kind of put some distance between themselves and the rest of the division before they start playing those division opponents soon.
And before you have to bring in guys that are going to make you better but need to reacclimate, like I said, like Dustin May,
yeah,
Caleb Ferguson coming back off, who was great in 2020 before the injury. Like, you want these guys on your roster, but you also have to understand that guys don't just come off of the IL and perform back to their top standard. They have to get reacclimated. And the bigger buffer you have, the more you can do it. Because sometimes if you're in a close race, you don't always get to play those guys because you've got to play it closer to the vest. But if you have that big lead, you can get better than everybody and really lap them when you allow those guys to get back in it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Thomas, thank you for hopping on with me. Like I said, it's always more fun to talk with somebody. And so I appreciate you being my sounding board for this. I enjoyed your insights and yeah, thanks. And I want to say thank all you listeners for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB, where Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. I think Vince will be back with me tomorrow. Fingers crossed. I think he's on an airplane right now as Thomas and I are talking. And so hopefully Vince and I will be together for this last episode of the week tomorrow. There's no game to talk about. And so if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about, feel free to shoot those over. If you're not watching or listening every day, please add one or two days a month to your rotation. Help us get those numbers up. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, please tell them about the show. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. Thomas is on Twitter at underscore Champagne Guapi. You can tell it's a good Twitter handle because it starts with an underscore just to confuse you. You can email us at lockedondodgers@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail or a text message at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.